Today, a memorial is on view in Belle Isle to honor the 1,500 people in Detroit who have been killed by COVID. It features photos of those who have died, curated and composed by artist Eric Milliken. One of the architects of the memorial is Rochelle Riley, and she's director of arts and culture for the city of Detroit, and she joins us today. Rochelle, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you very much.
At what point did you know that it was going to be important to create a memorial for what Detroit has lost this year?
Well, I knew that it had to happen sooner or later, months ago, when I lost 8 friends in the first 2 weeks that we knew it was a true pandemic. But as soon as the mayor asked me to come up with an idea, I knew it had to be something that kept with the social distancing guidelines that the governor has been very stringent about and that I very much support. So I tried to think of something where we couldn't hurt each other.
Yeah. Could you describe sort of the structure that Eric laid out and sort of how one physically experiences it?
Well, they were actually two different things. We had the idea to use photos because I know that so many people not only didn't get to say goodbye to their loved ones, but didn't get to see them sometime for weeks, you know, while they were sick in hospitals or being quarantined. And I wanted them to have one last look. And I needed something for the cover of the printed program that I wanted all of the mourners to have as they went around Belle Isle. And I love these collages that, you know, turn into a photo. You know, there's a larger image that's composed of a bunch of different images. And one of my committee members found one and said, look at this, we should do this. And I said, well, if we're going to do something like that, I can't do it. And I thought about Eric because I used to work with him at the Free Press. And I said, let me ask him. And he said, I can absolutely come up with something. And it was just brilliant.
Did the photos come from families?
All photos came from families. Because of HIPAA laws, we can't release any information about anybody. And we couldn't like pull driver's licenses or anything. So it had to be voluntary and people who wanted to participate. So we put out a call. And of the 1,500 victims, 907 submitted photos.
Wow. I suppose that some people, for some people, it might have even been a little too soon.
I can tell you right now that there were people who submitted photos and then didn't know if they could come. And I know I talked to almost 100 families either to, you know, talk to them about what we were doing or to answer questions. And sometimes they just needed to talk. They just wanted to talk about who they lost and what they were feeling and how hard it was. But they also talked about how they really did want closure and they were glad that the city was doing this.
Was it important to you that the design convey something in addition to grief?
This memorial had two purposes, and I've said that from the beginning, and I told the mayor this. You know, the world did not take racism seriously until they watched George Floyd publicly murdered. I don't think everybody's going to take COVID seriously until they can actually see the faces of people who have been snatched from us. And driving around that island and seeing those huge 4x4 foot billboards of people young, and I mean very young, from little Skylar Herbert to people who are, you know, in their 80s and 90s, all just gone from this virus. I'm hoping that it will make people take it seriously.
Mm. As we mentioned, this is something that people can experience from the comfort and relative safety of their cars as they go to Belle Isle. Are you optimistic that one day we'll all just be walking around there again and taking in these faces?
I am hoping that by next summer, when we celebrate the next Detroit Memorial Day, whatever we do to honor people that we didn't have a chance to this time, and the people who we lost since we got these pictures, we can find a way to do that. My first thought as soon as the mayor asked me to do it was for the whole city to just go to the Detroit River and throw rose petals into the water. And well, we can't do that. That's littering and we can't have that many people in one place. But wouldn't that be great if by next summer, if people take it seriously and we can, you know, survive the pandemic and just deal with occasional coronavirus, we might be able to be outside and do that again.
Yeah. Rochelle, I know you've got your hands full with your work with the city, but in your conversations and what you've observed from folks outside of Michigan or even outside of Detroit, do you think people who don't live here grasp the magnitude of what has happened this year?
I think that they're beginning to. Even as we fight the misconception that it's not real, more and more people are understanding just how bad it is. I got calls this week from people who were coming from other states to see this particular memorial. And I think that people are starting to realize that there have got to be other ways for us to deal with this than to make it a political battle. COVID-19 is not a political battle. It's not a political story. It's a medical tragedy. And we have to start taking it that way.
Rochelle Riley is the City of Detroit's Director of Arts and Culture. Rochelle, thank you for this and for this beautiful memorial. It's very
moving. Thank you so much. Thank you. It was my honor to talk to you. One of my favorites.
One of the faces on the memorial at Belle Isle is that of Christine Hansen. She died earlier this year, and her nephew, Norris Howard, is with us now. He's a journalist who lives in Detroit. Norris, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Will you tell us about your aunt?
We actually call her Aunt Chris in my family. I don't know why, but Aunt Chris has pretty much, you know, been the matriarch of our family since as long as I've been born. My mother's parents passed away when she was very young, so Aunt Chris essentially raised my mom. So on her side, she's the closest thing to a grandmother I've ever had. And she was just a very just kind woman, very laid back, who had a little bit of venom if you got on her bad side. But for the most part, she was all about her family, always wanted to spend time with family, and was ever present, as far as I'm concerned, in our family.
How old was she when she passed?
She was 89, I believe.
Did the family ever find out exactly how she contracted COVID?
Yeah. Unfortunately, she was in a nursing home around the time the virus first started to spread to other parts of the country. And pretty much before nursing homes across the country could sort of create a protocol to fully lock down, hers, unfortunately, was one where the virus had already infiltrated. So there were already a number of people who were sick. And at that point, around mid-March, we were just kind of waiting for the news that she had contracted it. And eventually she did. And ultimately, that was her cause of passing.
I feel like your family's experience is so tragically typical of those who have lost loved ones to COVID, in that you didn't really have a lot of contact with her in those last weeks, at least not in person contact. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. From the moment that the nursing home went into lockdown, pretty much my mom was only allowed to see her near the end when she was at the hospital. I believe around late fall, December was the last time I saw her physically in person.
Do you mind sharing who was with her when she passed?
My mother, and that was it.
Yeah. Was there any way for you to keep in touch about what was going on that day?
Yeah, I was constantly in touch with my mom. And when we got the call from the doctor to say, you know, family should probably come up and say our goodbyes, my mom was the only one allowed up. But we did FaceTime, and, you know, unfortunately, my aunt at that point was pretty much catatonic. You know, she was non-responsive. And so that was really the last time I saw her in any capacity was via FaceTime. And they did allow my mom to do that.
What's your observation about how these months have changed Detroit as far as you're able to see?
I feel like it's changed many inner cities in making us take a serious look at public health and public safety from a certain aspect. I, you know, was one of the ones who pretty much was lucky enough to be able to work from home and quarantine and still be able to provide for myself and for my family. But I think the city of Detroit was one of the cities that I kind of anticipated would be hit hard considering the level of poverty, unfortunately, but also a city that responded, in my opinion, very well to it. You know, we were able to get numbers down in a reasonable amount of time. But unfortunately, as at least in my personal observation that I see in some of the suburbs, you know, a little bit further out from Detroit, people aren't really taking it as serious, which, to be honest, I find quite insulting, considering I've lost family to it now, in addition to friends who have lost family as well.
Yeah. Has this epidemic and the loss of your aunt changed things for you?
Yeah, definitely. It's caused me to obviously do a lot more that I can to be in touch with family. Obviously, for the better part of the spring and early parts of the summer, that was very difficult because we all were, you know, self-isolating and trying to do our best to remain safe. But it has caused me to think a lot more about family. And to be perfectly honest, it's caused me to really change not necessarily change my stance, but feel a lot more deeply about how we really do need healthcare reform in America. I think there's a lot of people that probably would not have gotten as sick and definitely would not have passed away from COVID had they had the proper healthcare and had they been able to get the right preventative care as well. And I think that becomes very emphatic when you live in a city like Detroit.
Norris Howard is a journalist who lives in Detroit. Norris, I hope we can talk in happier times. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.